This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word.
The lesson, and I'll start it out intentionally, series, the lesson series that I want for us to start this morning, really has come as a result of a number of things all coming together over the last few weeks in my mind, certainly partly as God has been working in my life, and then just in addition to that, stuff that has just been coming together to help me see things and see how things fit together at all. One of them was the sermon, if you guys were with Josh, was it last Sunday that Josh preached, or the Sunday before? The Sunday before? Yeah, that was a really practical message that he had, and a sermon that just continues to stick with me from Andy Stanley from years ago, literally. and a few other things that are all, like I said, some stuff that I read recently and all. And so what we're going to begin with this morning, and I will admit, I don't know that this is the name that's going to stick. I have been writing reviews the last 2 weeks and have not had time to put a lot of meat on the bones of the structure that God has laid out for us for our study. And so I don't know if this is the title that's going to stick or not, but it's the question, the rhetorical question, where are you going? Where are you going? And what I intend for this to be is a really practical study for us to recognize what we need to do. If we have goals, if we know, you know, I want for my life to look like this, to be like this, I want for my kids to be like this, I want for my marriage to be like this, I want for my finances to look like this, then how do you get there? How do you get there? And so the question is, where are you going? And we will begin studying that this morning. First of all, I'd just like to ask a question, and this is to try to help give you a picture of the truth, the principle, one of the principles that we're going to be really basing this whole study on, and that is, okay, we have I-75, which is somewhere close to us in that direction there, if I'm not mistaken, and so if we were to be driving along, if you were to be driving along on I-75 going north, And I just happened to, you know, Trent and I happened to be driving on I-75. We saw you wave and picked up the phone and said, "Hey, how's it going? You know, where are y'all going? We're going wherever." And so there we are going north, and we'd say, "Hey, are y'all going to Chattanooga? That's where we're going." And you were to say, "What? What are you talking about? No, we're on our way to Orlando." And I'd say, "Are you serious? Because you're going north, and if you go north and don't get off of I-75, you first of all are not going to end up in Orlando. You are in fact going to end up in, you're going to end up in Chicago, and eventually in Detroit." and you were to say, no, we have been planning for this vacation forever. And we are going to Orlando. We've got, see in the back, we have all of our stuff for we have our Mickey Mouse hats and all that stuff, and that's where we're going. That's where we're going. And I'd say, you know what? Wherever you think you're going, whatever your intention is, I can promise you, if you continue north on I-75, you're not going to end up in Orlando. You are going to end up in Chattanooga. And you might get mad at me, but I'll tell you, I can promise it. I can guarantee it. It is a fact. It is a fact that that's where you're going to end up. No matter what your intentions are, no matter what you thought, you're going to end up in Chattanooga. And that's it. And it's not me being judgmental about you. Right? I'm not judging you or even criticizing you. I'm just telling you the facts. Go north on 75 from Atlanta, end up in Chattanooga. And as well, okay, so you tell me you want to go to Orlando, I can tell you how to get there. Turn around, get on 75 South. Stay on it, you'll be in Orlando. You won't? You'll end up wherever. You'll be close. At least you'll get to Florida, right? It's better. Sorry, sorry. But yeah, you must pay to drive in Florida, period. But I hope you see the point. This is what Andy Stanley calls the principle of the path. Of the path. Whatever path you are on will determine your destination. Just as simple as that. If you're going north on 75, your destination is determined. Chattanooga. The only way, if you don't want to go to Chattanooga, the only way not to is to get off of North 75 and get on some other road. And this principle of the path is something that is a guarantee. It is absolute, it is certain, it's predictable. And what it teaches us is that if we want to determine our destination, and we want for that destination to be our hopes, our dreams, our goals, God's best for us, then we should back away from those dreams, those hopes, those thoughts, and say, okay, if that's where I'm going, how do I get there? And it's also really appropriate for us to say, okay, well, what road am I on? Where is the destination of that path? Because your path determines your destination every single time. Something else that God threw into the mix here is something I was reading the other day, which I thought was, which will be relevant as we study through this study. And that is a statement that I thought was pretty helpful. Bad habits are easy to form, but hard to live with. Good habits are hard to form, but are easy to live with. Does that make sense? There are so many things that we can just start doing because it's easy to start doing, and very quickly, as you know, those actions become habits. And those habits, by the way, define your path, which then determine your destination. There are many, many things that we start doing so easily, and then we, you know, come up for air at some point down the road and realize, oh, crud, this is awful. The results of these habits or this habit are not what I want. In fact, they're really bad. But there are other things, and you can certainly add to the list, but things just obviously, eating right. Eating right stinks. It is hard. There's nothing about it that is easy to make it happen and to make it become a habit. But the outcome is so much easier to live with, so much better to live with. And those are just some examples, but hopefully you can see that. And we will talk more and more about that principle as well, about bad habits being easy to form and yet hard to live with. Good habits, hard to form, but easy to live with. And as we go through, we're going to talk about some other stuff. You guys know Andy Andrews, one of my favorite authors. There's some stuff that we're going to bring into this as we study these principles. Let's look first, though, at the scripture and get a few ideas of the scriptural basis, the foundation, the background for these things that we're talking about, and that will help us to realize that this principle of the path is something that is really set by God. I mean, it is the way that he expects it to be. And so if you'll get your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, please. And it's crazy how that Romans 12, 1 and 2, have you noticed how that it was up in our previous study, and it was even up in the one before that? It was one of the passages that we studied about. We studied about it when it came to to worship. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Would someone read that for me, please, for us, please? Passage that we probably all know.
not be conformed to the transformed by the will of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable.
Thank you, Bruce. We've looked at a number of different pieces of this passage. Now we're going to focus there in verse 2, and specifically the phrase there, or the two phrases, after don't be conformed to this world, but and then he gives us instructions. And by the way, just FYI for the context, Romans is, oh gosh, the most incredible book, theological treatise from Paul, major, awesome, incredible stuff. And if you know the structure outline of Romans, just from a 50,000-foot perspective, Paul spends the first 11 chapters of Romans on theology. The first 11 chapters, that's all it is. It's all it is. It's about righteousness, salvation, what about the Jews, all those things, right? Faith, I can't not say faith. Faith is so key in early Romans. So the first 11 chapters, here's theology. Here's what you should believe. Here's what you should think. And then chapter 12, verse 1 is where he turns the corner and takes all of that theology and he says, okay, all that being true, therefore, do this, live this way. This is where he turns all that theology into practice. And that's the remainder, 12 through 16 of Romans. And so this right here is the turning point. And what you see here in this phrase, in the first part of verse 2, don't be conformed to the world, but, and here is a foundational statement for us, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? So this is where it starts. And then Paul gives us a hint of the result, that you may prove what the will of God is, so that you can see the definition, excuse me, the destination, so that you can see the destination, God's will, God's plan, the outcome. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove, so you can set, so you can define that destination. And so that kind of gives us the start and the finish of what we're going to be talking about in our study. Starts here, and it ends in a destination. We're going to talk about what goes between those steps here as well. Let's look at another passage that will help us understand the idea of the path and the destination. Matthew 7, 12 through 14. Someone read that for us, please. Matthew 7, 12 through 14. Thank you, Jason. Do you see there the principle of the path stated two different ways? You've got two paths. You've got the broad way and you have the narrow way. And is there any uncertainty when Jesus says this about the outcome of either of those two paths? It's just like being on 75. If you're going north, you're going to Chattanooga. If you're going south, apparently you're going to Tampa. And you can leave your Mickey Mouse hats back home, I guess. I don't know. Just as certain as that is on I-75, Jesus is certain about the outcome. If you want to take the wide way, the broad path, guess where you're going to end up? Destruction, the principle of the path. That is the destination that is guaranteed by being on that path. But he also says, narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way, the path that leads to life. And so there Jesus is basically stating, presumptively, the principle of the path. And just to make it really clear, paths have a predetermined, definite, and predictable destination. Every time. One more passage, Proverbs 4, please, 25 through 27. And then what I want to do is draw a diagram on the board that will at least give us the skeleton that we're going to be studying over the next weeks. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. Thank you, Anna Marie. Watch the path of your feet, and all of your ways will be established. Once again, the principle of the path. Be on the right path, you'll end up where you want to go. If you're not on the right path, I don't care where you want to go. You're going where that path leads you. Let me give you a couple of quotes from Andy Stanley that I thought were relevant for us at this point, three of them. Your direction, not intentions, hopes, dreams, prayers, or beliefs. Your direction determines your destination. Did you hear those things in there that are hard to hear, but it's the truth? Not your intentions, hopes, dreams, prayers, or beliefs. In other words, if you are on the wrong path, you can pray all that you want to. If you continue on the path, you're still going to get to the destination that you don't want. Now, if you pray and allow God, then He can get you out there on I-75 and say, no, not north, go south. Turn around, do a U-turn, repent, get on a different path, and then the outcome will be what you want. But you can pray all day long, and if you continue on the wrong path, you'll end up in the wrong destination. Does that make sense? How about this? This is why Andy Stanley actually wrote a book, which I have only read partially thus far, but I've listened to all the entire sermon series that he had. He says this, I continue to see a huge disconnect in people between where they want to end up and the path they've chosen. Isn't that crazy? And I remember him talking about, isn't it nuts that really smart people can make choices that result in being on a path toward a destination that they don't want, and yet they can't figure out why they end up where they don't want. It has nothing to do with being smart. And then finally, just to make it perfectly clear about that it doesn't matter what we want, what we intend, what we were thinking, direction trumps intention. Every time. All right. Any questions before we kind of try to map this stuff out? Because we've talked about the principle of the path, which is really kind of the last part of where it starts. We've talked in Romans, though, that it starts with our thoughts. And so we're going to start with thoughts, end up with destination, and see how it all works, hopefully giving us a pathway to identify what we're doing, maybe, that may be just stupid. I've got some of those. Or for us to realize, you know what? I can get with God, determine my destination, His destination for me, His best for me, and then from that work backwards to find out, okay, what do I need to be doing today to get there? Does that make sense? And that's exactly how we're going to do the study. We're going to start at the end and go back to the beginning. And so let's hopefully there'll be enough room up here, and I'm going to need my notes for this, and I'm going to write some stuff up here, and I'm going to need you to help me fill in the gaps, because I'm certain that I've missed some stuff as I've been going through this. Okay, so first of all, at the bottom, destination. That's the last thing. Now, Andy Stanley's path of the principle is this, that direction determines destination. So that's the next step backwards. But then you have to ask the question, well, what is it that determines direction? Any ideas about that? Yeah. And you're exactly where we're going, though. But you know what? We're going to find out that there's actually a lot more than just actions that go here. Let me give you a few ideas, and maybe this will help. How about attitudes? What I'm hoping, because there have been a lot of books and thoughts and sermons and all that kind of stuff, what I'm hoping to do is try to create like the whole thing, right? All this stuff in one picture so that we can really get the full effect. How about this? And I know there are a lot of other things that go in here. What else do I have? Oh, yeah. These are all the same, on the same level. I just ran out of room, right? And then one final one. Yeah, friends. What else? As I said, this is one of the areas where I kept thinking, okay, I know I'm missing some stuff here. So, actually, how about this? We'll back up another level, and I bet that will help us fill in some more gaps there. Okay, what is it that you do that defines your attitudes, your beliefs, your actions, your decisions, your depression, even bitterness as an outcome, and your friends? What is it that causes those? What leads to those things? Our thoughts. The fact. That is right, baby. So our thoughts result in all of these things, and all of those things together determine, especially the decisions, but the actions, the habits that are formed, determine the direction that we end up with, which what? Determines our destination. Okay, well, that's good, but so far we don't have anything practical, and we don't have any place yet practical to start with this. And so what is it that determines our thoughts? Things that we see. What do you mean, like TV, movie? Okay, environment. All right, TV and movies. Pamela, you had your hand up? Okay. All right, what else? Culture? Yep.
All those are external. I'm thinking also.
Yeah, and we're going to
powerful one is our own sinful nature. That's what our own lust. That's what leads us away. Yeah, we get influenced, but we're also responsible.
And that's what we're going to have to be able to do, is to recognize some of these things we have control over, some of them we don't. Dawn, yes, ma'am. Disorders, yep. Which really, I'm not a psychiatrist nor the son of a psychiatrist, but that could be from this one, right, our upbringing, which is kind of what we had for that. And experiences and disorders. Okay. As I said, I'm not a Fred and I have been talking about this week how that, you know, what is it that makes me have particular weaknesses and temptations? And we were talking about, gosh, I can go back just as far back as you want and start trying to identify, and some of it maybe we can. I think that some of it maybe we can't. We have, if you look in Scripture, then there's certainly the fact that God says that the sins of the fathers are passed down to the third and fourth generation. And so the bad news is that for us, even beyond who we were born as, and the sin nature that we have, and the culture that we grow up in, the influence and teaching and experiences that we have, even beyond all that, our ancestors can have passed down additional weaknesses and proclivities and things that will also be a challenge in this area. Yes, Pamela. Upbringing. Yeah. That's kind of this one, right? And so we have all those things that go into it. I'm sorry? Prejudices. Thank you. Is there a D in there? Oh, well, I knew that D was in there. It is. There are a number of these things that are... are you freezing, Anna Marie? I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I have no idea. If you guys can have a good idea on how to balance the temperature needs that we all feel. I know what I can do. Yeah. Okay, so we have all those things, but thankfully we've got a few other things that can help here too, though, right? That nobody's mentioned, oddly. How about reading the Bible and meditating on Scripture? And sermons was another idea that I had, because that is, you know, like going to church or other things as well. And how about worship? You know, gosh, how can I not put worship up there? We just finished a 17-year-long, one-week study on that. And so those are some things there as well. Now, given that, are we missing anything in any of these different stages of this process that go from our thoughts, which are influenced by all these things, but our thoughts to the actions and decisions that those thoughts cause, result in, which determines the path that we're on, which determines ultimately the destination? Well, it essentially determines immediately where we're headed, right? When you get on 75 North, you're on your way to Chattanooga. You're not there yet, but you're on the way. Yes, Pamela.
I think I've said it before. Sin nature is the top, because Bible sermons and worship, again, are all part of your upbringing and the influences in your life. So all of those, depending on who we are, fall into that. But Trina was correct. The whole thing is that we have to understand that it all starts from our sin nature.
Yeah.
We cannot by ourselves get from there to the right.
That's right. In fact, it will cause us probably every time to be on the wrong path. Yep. That's right. Okay, so you can see that there are a lot of things here. Some of them are our choice. Some of them are built in when we're born, which, once again, is in some cases not our choice. Now, when you're a kid, your environment is not your choice. When you're an adult, your environment can many times be a choice, but then there are other things up here that can absolutely be a choice. And so that's where we're going to get, but we're not going to get there today. What I wanted to do today is to get this up here so that you can see where we're going, and then start with destination, because I mean, any project or any endeavor that you start on, if you don't have a goal, then who knows? You'll never know if you got there or not. And in fact, God has goals for us, and we should as well. Bruce, you have something?
Yeah. Analogies are wonderful things. And the analogy of the travel, absolutely true in that realm. When we transfer it into something as complex as our personal lives, our spiritual lives, our destinations, and stuff like that, I'm not so sure that that whole issue translates so well into a set. And as I watch this, I keep thinking that this is really a circle. You know, that your destination should be an input into your thoughts. Your destination should be an input into your environment. And vice versa. All of these things, I don't see them in quite that strictly linear sense. I think that at the end of the day, probably a spiritual view of this would be more holistic, more like a circle or a network or whatever. All of these things influence each other.
Well,
the question in your life is, which area are you going to give preeminence to?
And I think, Bruce, that what you're saying is very true, and yet that circle would get bigger and bigger to the point that it would become linear, because there are many small paths with small destinations that would then feed into the next one and the next one, and then you have mid-range goals and processes and projects and all that would be a bigger circle that would then still circle around, but eventually, at least you could look at, I believe, your life in one sense is absolutely linear. From the beginning to the end, that there's a path that ends up with a destination. So it's,
I don't yes. More at what I heard you saying, like a feedback loop of checking. And I think what I hear that or read that in Romans 12:22 is test yourself. So my test is, am I headed towards the destination? So I'm testing some of those things, but like many little feedback loops. That's how I
think your thoughts are all.
Yeah. So they're all checking each other.
Oh. And thank you, mechanical engineer, for for.
Did you notice we're doing reverse engineering?
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
I have a question.
Go ahead. Okay. Yes. You in the front.
Somewhere in there, I feel like we. I believe not feel. I believe that we need to put in. Romans says, "I like the New Living Translation." It says. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We can only change ourselves a very minuscule amount. It's God who changes our heart, right? And Jeremiah tells us that our heart above all else is desperately wicked. Who can even know it? We don't even know how wicked we are.
Yep.
God has to reveal it to us. So I think between thoughts and actions, there should be something that includes our will. That we submit to God and we allow ourselves to be crucified. Because if we own ourselves, then we're going to do what we want to do, what feels good to us at the moment, you know, that kind of thing. So something needs to go between thoughts and actions that has to be the power of God. Because He's the one that changes us, not us.
Well, and let's, we're going to have this up here, I hope, every week, so that we can add to it.
Okay.
And like I said, you guys, I have had this skeleton in my brain preparing for today for weeks. But when it came time for me to actually start putting meat on the bones and to think through it with quality thoughts and time and all that, I didn't have it. And so this is what I would call a preliminary draft that is a working document that we will work through. And one of the things that I can't wait to get to is we have all this stuff up here, which is just an amazing set of baggage. And if you were to think, oh goodness, I'm going to give up now, because how can I overcome 18, 20, 25 years of upbringing? How can I overcome this horrible event that happened to me that is the mountain that is bigger than anything else in my life? And just, crud, how can I overcome the sin nature? Etc. You know, all this stuff to realize the strength, the incredible power of God's Word and the power of God that we can say, I don't care what it is. And I say that with the biggest heart that I can muster, because there are some things that are huge. There are some things that are worse, greater, more horrendous, horrible, whatever adjective you can fit in there than I can ever imagine. But knowing that I don't know, I can still say, God is able. And if he weren't, I would quit right now. God is able. And so all this stuff that is so huge still is not big enough that it cannot be overcome completely. And in fact, redeemed completely by God, his power. Especially and specifically in some very practical ways that we'll talk about when we get there in a future time together.
I just wanted to add on to that, that when we really meditate on the power of God in our lives, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead, once we understand what sin did to the Lord of glory, and that he conquered that, and he lives today, he destroyed it. He conquered sin and death. And there is nothing that he is not able to overcome. And so we need to keep that in mind. Yeah, there's culture. Yeah, there's our choices. Yeah, there's bad decisions. But he can change us. We have to be willing to let him do that. And he is so powerful within us. We need to understand that he is at work if we let him. We have to submit. We have to submit. We have to repent. And but I just remember that scripture that talks about, I think it's in Ephesians. It talks about the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you right now.
Listen to this, just to highlight and put an amen on what Trina just said. This is in Colossians chapter 2. Listen to this. And think about all the crud up there at the top of this chart that would fit into this statement. This is talking about Jesus. In him, this is verse 9, Colossians 2, 9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also are raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And then listen to this. This is Colossians 2, about to read verse 14. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So do you see what happened there? What Jesus, what Paul is talking about right there that Jesus did is all of these things that would drag you away, the sin nature, the enemy, and all of the things that he would use against us. All of that stuff, every bit of it, your sin, your environment, everything that would drag you down. He took it and he nailed it to his cross. And so all of a sudden, I don't care what it is. I don't care how big it is or how bad it is or how nobody else has ever succeeded after experiencing this. Or God is able because of Jesus and what he did on the cross. Oh, absolutely it is.
About Allah and all
Mm-hmm. You know, that a 3-year-old can explain his religion, so to speak, so well.
Wow.
And they're starting them out so young that it'll just be lifestyle.
Once again, the comfort as Christians that we have experienced in the United States has made us complacent to the point that we are near worthless. Our saltiness has lost its savor, to use Jesus's term. But there's hope, right? Even with that, there is hope. All right, well, we have, let me just get started with the question. As I said, we're gonna go backwards. We're going to go backwards. And so the place that we're starting is at the end. And that is the destination. And I'll ask you, how many people ever set out in life to have a horrible life, to have a negative outcome, to be broke? Boy, that's my goal. I want to be broke. I want my kids to turn out rotten. I want for my marriage to end in divorce just as quickly as possible. In fact, I'd like 3 or 4 of those, please, now that we're thinking about it. And I would really like in my job to not be trusted and to get no respect. And if I can lose my job pretty soon, that would work out well for me. Yeah, that's my goal. Of course not. This is stupid. It's ridiculous that anybody would have those kinds of goals. People have goals that are positive. People have goals that they are, you know, are destinations that where they want to end up. And so the first thing that we have to think about and start and even pray about is for us to be able to identify what are my goals, what are my the destinations, and like Bruce kind of brought up a while ago, maybe not intentionally, but I took it and messed it up. That there, you know, there are lots of different kinds of goals. Jesus, when he was talking there in Matthew 7 that we read a while ago, the destination, the path and destination he was talking about there was eternity, right? That's that one long, you start here and you end up either in heaven or hell. That is the ultimate idea here of a path and a destination. But at smaller scales, there are lots of other goals. You know, do you want to live till you're 50 and die of all sorts of horrible health issues, or do you want to live till just as long as you can? Well, that's a destination with decisions that you need to make in order to get there. Pamela. That's right.
And that's the kind of circle it is. It's not easy. You can look at it literally, as long as you recognize it. The very fact that we even think to have a destination, any kind,
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And that will really carry through everything that we talk about, to recognize God's hand in every bit of it. And even the desire to be saved is given to us. Yes, that's right. All right. So hopefully you've seen where we hope to go next week to start going backwards in our study. And we will start with this idea of destination. So what I'd like for you to do as homework this week is think about your current... Let's think about your... The destinations that you hope for. Your goals, what you would love to have as outcomes in your life. Heaven, I'll throw that one out there as a suggested one for everyone as the ultimate destination. What's your goal for your marriage? What's your goal for your career? What's your goal financially? What is your goal for your children? Your goal for your marriage. Anything else in your life that's big and important? What is your goal? What is really, more, I guess I should even better state it, what do you believe God's will is, to put it back into the context of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. What is God's will? that will that is perfect and acceptable, pleasing to God. What is it that He wants for you, that those destinations? So just think about those, please, and we'll start up there, Lord willing, next Sunday. All right? All right, let's pray. God, I thank You for those who have gone before and really caused me and others to think about these ideas of the principle of the path from Andy Stanley, the importance of our thoughts, this concept of good and bad habits, all of these things, Lord. Thank You for them. We're just climbing onto their shoulders as we try to put this all together. And I ask, Lord, that as we begin this study and go through it, I ask that You would show us Your perfect will in each of the important areas of life. And then, Lord, I pray that You would open our eyes to what paths we are on right now and what those destinations would look like. And that You would help us, Lord, to identify what we could do to make sure we are on the right path. Please, through Your grace, dear God, Holy Spirit, please teach us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.